The summer circuit continues live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentlemen Tasting Room in Alvin. Here now are the Killer Bees, Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, the news is out on Yordan Alvarez. The Astros have officially placed Yordan on the injured list and will return to Houston for further evaluation. Hopefully this is just, you know, a minor injury. He'll be right back after the 10 days are up. You do have to throw in the caveat, the plausibility, that it could be longer than that, maybe weeks, maybe some fear-mongering, more than that. We don't know the severity of the injury. We both wanted Yordan on the IL, even if this was as minor could be. So I'm totally okay with the injured list move. I'm happy that they did it. Now you just hope that it's short-term and that 10 days go by, you can call him right back up. But this was automatic to me as soon as he was lifted for a pinch hitter yesterday.
We know what his track record in history is with injuries. We know the fact that we just dealt with an oblique injury with Altuve. And you hope it's the same scenario where you caught it before it actually went full-blown on you. So therefore, best case scenario and handling it the best way you know how. Sit him down now. Don't let him try and play through it and make it worse. And then hopefully, you know, in maybe less than the time that you even were anticipating, he's back in the lineup when you're back at home and everything is hunky-dory. I hope.
I know you said just play it right. Did they play it right?
What do you mean?
You know, they said that Yordan Alvarez felt the oblique a little bit before the game.
Oh, sit him down before the game.
Should they have played him at all yesterday?
Well, we don't know that they knew that, though.
That's true.
Right. We don't know that they knew that.
I will say, like, as much as Yordan does what Yordan wants, we kind of joke about it. I think that's very real. I don't think he's as sharing as he needs to be.
Well, we've seen that in the past when Dusty guessed wrong and then Yordan
the two hands versus one
it.
Hand.
Right.
And
right.
I've heard that Yordan does not like the narrative around his name and that he's soft. I've heard that Yordan is not comfortable with that kind of conversation with Yordan Alvarez. Yordan Alvarez does
so
not like that.
You.
Yordan, I mean, I don't think he's heard me.
Oh.
Probably has, though. We're, you know, a sensational show doing numbers.
No doubt.
On the as measly midday guys.
Not
as
even
measly
big boys.
Midday guys doing numbers. But I have heard that Yordan is not a fan of that narrative around his name. So he hiding, like, a minor oblique strain does not surprise
me.
So we don't know. Maybe Dusty did know, and that now your question's incredibly valid.
I think it's,
or he's hiding it.
I more times than not, when a player feel something like that, they know what is going to happen if they say something. And I think a lot of players are gamers and don't want to say something.
Especially guys who have that,
you know,
don't like that narrative about them. So I don't think that the Astros knew, if I'm guessing, and this is a total guess and speculation. But Yordan placed on the 10-day IL. My immediate reaction to this is Yiner Diaz needs to play the next 10 games. This is 10-day, not 10 games. Astros have 9 games in 10 days, whatever. Don't get lost in the semantics. Every game that Yordan Alvarez is gone, Yiner Diaz needs to play. It's the same thing
this
with Jake Myers. You have to learn what you have.
Yep.
Learn what Yiner Diaz is. Learn, Dusty, if Yiner's a way better offensive player than Martin Maldonado and overcomes the, you know, intangibles that you like about Maldonado as a catcher, or he's just way better than Abreu and he has to play first base. Learn what you have with Yiner while Yordan is gone.
Yeah, look out. This is your resume for the rest of the season, really, essentially. You're opening the door. You have free reign. Have at it. Impress me. There's no doubt that Dusty, in Dusty's mind, because we already know Dana Brown knows what he's got and he sees a lot of potential in this kid, but this is from Dusty's point of view. Okay, I'll go with it. If the kid impresses me, then I know I can play him the rest of the year and I can move him around. If he doesn't, then you know he's not ready for prime time yet, and then Dusty's basically like, I got my way, okay? Now I've proven my point. I can do what I want to do with my, you know, Dusty, trusty, you know, Papa's belly type things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could also do the whole DH, Jose Altuve for a game, Dubon's playing second, you're going to catch Yiner or play first base that day. So you have options here if you're Dusty. You didn't have to be Yiner for the next 9 games as the designated hitter. But I want to see Yiner in the lineup for the next 9 games. I don't care how you do it.
And miss me on the Dubon talk because you need someone with pop. If you're losing Yordan Alvarez.
I don't want Dubon to be my DH.
No,
but if he's
saying
in the lineup, it's fine.
But I'm also saying because you're losing a bat with power like Yordan, you need a guy like Yiner in the lineup because he brings more pop every time he's at the plate.
Right.
And you need that.
No, it's more of like the domino effect of getting like a Dubon in. Because now that the DH spot is open, you can give a day off for Alex Bregman, a half day off by playing him at you know, the DH spot. Dubon is your third baseman that day, and you're catching Yiner Diaz. So it doesn't need to be nine games Yiner's your DH. It needs to be nine games that Yiner's playing, and then you can get creative
and
based on how
you're
using Yiner.
You're also dealing with the back end of the rotation of guys he already knows, so it's easier to still keep throwing him out there at catcher when you need him to catch. He obviously is not going to catch either Javier or Fromber, but you know, for the most part, he knows the rest of the pitching staff. You can throw him out there. And then, like you said, if you need a middle infielder that needs a break, or the half day is a great idea for a guy like Bregman, who really doesn't have that many days off.
No. Yeah, and he homered the game after a day off. Some people are speculating on what, you know, who the Astros are going to call up in place of Yordan Alvarez. I like, some people are petitioning for Justin Dearden. I don't know if Justin Dearden should be getting at-bats over Jake, Chaz, Jolks, Yiner, even Dubon. To me, you call up Salazar so you have flexibility. I think it's that simple.
Yeah, you can use Yiner so you're not worried about using your backup catcher in another position, and then you got to get shifty in the middle of a game. Now Salazar's your insurance policy at catcher for either guy. If Yiner's catching too, you have options, but then now you feel even more freely. Dusty can move even more freely about where you put Yiner in the lineup.
Here's a little tinfoil cap on a Friday.
Okay.
Yordan Alvarez's neck injury came just before they played in the second city on a two-city trip in Tampa, right? And no one even asked Yordan about the neck because he didn't meet with the media, was not talking to the media. This is right before the second city of a second city trip.
Oh.
There's been more than one, but here you've had two examples of Yordan Alvarez missing games this year with injury. The neck injury before the Tampa series on a two-city trip, and he came home right before the second leg of a two-city trip. Yordan Alvarez yesterday, feeling discomfort in his oblique, now being placed on the injured list. They say he's coming home for further evaluation. Second time that Yordan's been hurt, both times this year, where he is coming home just ahead of the first day of the second city on a two-city trip.
I think you've been watching too much Vanderpump Rules.
That's a fact.
I know, but I think that looking for the drama in that, to think that there's something more to it.
What happened with Yordan's neck? Have we ever heard? Was he playing that next Monday?
I think he was.
He was.
It's also a three-city trip.
Well, that's not going to happen here.
Three-city being
because they're going
Houston.
To Washington.
No,
no they're not.
For Washington.
Isn't it back home?
Oh,
here?
You're
it's
right. I can't
Yeah, it's back home
yeah,
here.
Yeah. Reading's hard.
Finish the week strong, Joe.
I think this injury's serious. Like, I'm not saying that he's making up an injury. I do think this injury's legit. I'm not saying it's a fake injury. It's just very odd that Yordan Alvarez's two injuries this year have come the day before the second city on a two-city trip.
If they had, like, a longer road trip after this,
just
like,
saying.
If it was, like, three or four cities
I can't
straight,
go that far
why,
with
why
it.
Did, yeah. Why did Yordan not say anything about his neck?
But the other thing is you desperately need him right now. You've lost three in a row, and he's the guy that's been carrying you. This is one where you can't.
It's not the Astros doing it. Yordan picks what Yordan wants to play.
But you just said he doesn't want to be labeled as having the label as soft.
Yeah.
So I don't. That's why I just. I don't think that.
I think he gets a little bit homesick.
I don't think so.
I'm reaching, obviously, but it is very coincidental and maybe ironic that both of his injuries this year have come just ahead of the second city on a two-city trip. And it is very weird to me that he has never addressed the neck injuries at all. He has never commented on the neck injury, period.
If they didn't put him on the IL.
No, I think this is legit.
Then I would say, okay, I'll at least entertain it. But they put him on the IL. It's a legit injury. And I'm not
saying this injury is not legit. I'm saying it's coincidental. And I'm saying the neck injury might not have been legit.
That's possible.
He refused to talk about the neck. No one's asked about
but
the
is
neck,
that more
period.
The fact that he's agitated by the fact that it's made such a big deal of and that...
I think it makes it worse when you don't answer questions.
But I don't know that he knows that. I don't know that he's getting the right advice on that because I think that that's always been the case with professional athletes. The more you run from it and hide from it, the more the media won't let you.
Yeah, yeah. Ocho says, I feel... Ocho's calling Yordan Alvarez Kawhi Alvarez.
I saw that.
Yeah, it's not the same.
It's not at all.
Yordan Alvarez misses a month at most, right? Like, when he had the hand injury, he missed 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more. Kawhi Leonard basically hasn't played basketball like a full season.
Plus, Kawhi would never settle for less than market value plus and then sit out.
Yordan Alvarez hasn't demanded two trades.
Yordan took a sweet deal to help that helps the team immensely and then doesn't take that kind of time off.
Yeah. Calling Kawhi is kind of slanderous, actually.
Yeah, 100%. Kawhi sucks.
We might be talking about hands in both cases, but in different. Yeah. But other than that, it's not. Yeah, I don't believe
there's no uncle like infiltrating Yordan Alvarez and
ruining the
Astros organization.
Yeah, and ripping everything from the coach to everybody in management.
Day one saying HIPAA. Remember when Dusty said that? HIPAA. Can't answer that because of HIPAA.
Can't answer that.
That was like his – it's because he didn't know what else to say.
What is HIPAA, Dusty? HIPAA.
Can I say that it's – never mind.
Here's my Cody likes analogies, and I'm trying to do my best Cody analogy here. This is what I kind of have as an analogy for Jose Abreu right now. Have you ever bought something to eat that was like $20? And let's just say you took that first bite, Blankers Joe, and it was terrible. Terrible. What do you do with that whatever – let's just say call it a sandwich, a ribeye sandwich. You buy it, it's $20. You take the first bite, it is awful. What do you do with the rest of the sandwich?
Depends on if I'm on the move and I got it on the run or if I'm sitting down at a restaurant.
You got it at a restaurant.
Send it back?
I'm considering sending it back.
Can we send back
Jose
Abreu?
You're sending it back because it tastes bad?
Yeah. No, I'm really not.
Really? I would never send back something that tastes
bad.
Well,
I would at least.
I would send back something if there was a mistake.
I would talk to somebody and say, this doesn't taste
good. You're kind of on you, though.
So, well, wait a minute. Is it doesn't taste good because of the fact that
it's just not good.
Okay, it's not.
It's not spoiled.
Okay,
there's nothing wrong with
different.
It. Like, you just order a ribeye sandwich, and it's just not good. The bread doesn't fit your fancy.
Yeah, I'm just going to eat the money and not eat it.
Yeah, then you have to.
So you finish the sandwich?
I don't know that I'll finish it, but I know I've got to eat the price and just I got to pocket the loss.
Right. So like in my instance, I don't like to eat bad food. So if I take a bite of a $20 ribeye sandwich and I don't like it, I'm probably going to take two or three bites and leave three quarters of it.
Throw it out.
I'm not going to eat the rest of it. I'm just not. I don't want to eat something that tastes poorly. What's the point of doing that? That's what Jose Abreu is. Jose Abreu is an $18 million contract. You've taken a couple bites. You don't like at all what it tastes like, but people are still going to finish that sandwich because they're paid for it, right? And it's the whole sunk cost conversation. Jose Abreu is to the point where it's a sunk cost. So what decision do you make? Do you finish the sandwich? Do you see it through even though you're not going to like it?
Well, here's
it's not
the
an
problem.
Optimal lunch, or do you get rid of it and move on to something that you enjoy more?
Because here's the problem. You got to eat two more of those sandwiches.
That's the thing.
That's the bigger problem. You got to eat
your next,
two.
It's your next two meals.
Yeah, you can buy an extra big bottle of ketchup to drown it, but you still got to eat two more of those sandwiches. Yeah,
Jose Abreu, though, he's entered sunk cost conversation.
100%.
Because you know, I'm not saying that you're going to buy out Jose Abreu today, but you can make him your backup first baseman. You can make him your 26th man on the roster, and you play Yiner Diaz at first base every day. You make a trade, and he's your first baseman every day. At what point, and we'll ask this to you, and we can talk about it on the other side, 713-780-ES. ESPN, at what point do you abort Jose Abreu? At what point is Jose Abreu a sunk cost and you move on? 713-780-3776. The HRMP listener line. Killer Bees broadcasting live at the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. B-Mag just popped in my ear and said, talk about Gentleman. Well, that's easy because we're at the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. Bunch of people are already here enjoying the great spirits that is Gentleman. This place is awesome. Great spot to have your private party, business meetings, whatever you can think of that you need a private room, do it at the Gentleman Bar in Alvin. It's a great pleasure of mine to tell you about Gentleman for a variety of reasons, tasting room one of them. But at the top of that list, if I'm being completely honest, is because Gentleman is the best. They make the best stuff in the market. The vodka, best in the state. Gin, best in the market. Bourbon, the double platinum winner in the prestigious Ascot Awards. Gentleman uses their innovative, revolutionary technology that eliminates impurities for the cleanest, smoothest spirits that you will ever taste. Joe George can attest to that. Hope I didn't get you in trouble. It is smooth. It is clean. It eliminates the burn. Don't labor through your drink. Enjoy it. Savor it. And you can do that with Gentleman. Head to the Gentleman. Head to Gentleman.com to learn about the incredible story. Head to the Gentleman tasting room where we are today or stop at your favorite liquor store on the way home. Total Wine, Specs, many of the local stores to pick up a bottle today. Ask for it the next time. You're at your favorite bar or restaurant as well. When you go to Minute Maid Park, Gentleman Bar, right when you walk in, the Union Station entrance. Gentleman, highest craft, softest sip.
Welcome back to the Summer Circuit, coming to you live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
It is the Killer Bees. What do you do? What do you do with Jose Abreu? He's a sunk cost at this point, right? Tony Lone Star says 3 weeks ago, he's that $20 sandwich that you ordered for lunch that you don't like.
Buy a bottle of ketchup.
But you feel like you No one loves ketchup as much as
right, but you can drown out the taste and you can stomach the.
So what is the Astros ketchup?
You got to eat it.
Yiner Diaz.
You got to eat it.
Yiner Diaz ketchup. You heard here first on the.
Yeah, in year one, you got to eat it.
Is he spicy ketchup or
I love spicy
classic
ketchup.
Ketchup?
I love spicy ketchup.
I mean, spicy ketchup is elite.
Spicy ketchup, you go regular or spicy?
Oh, my God. There's only one answer.
Blanker's just laying it on the
list. I am a ketchup connoisseur, and there is only one answer. It is the original Heinz.
No, spicy ketchup
you
from
Whataburger. You can mix in spicy ketchup, I'm just telling you, there's only one answer.
When I moved to Houston 8 years ago, it changed my life.
I'll
never go back.
Spicy ketchup's the best.
Yeah, I go burger, dog, everything.
Would you have a particular brand?
Whataburger.
Yeah, Whataburger spicy ketchup.
Now that they sell it at HEB, I buy it there.
They buy it and you can buy it in bulk?
Yeah. Yep. If you look at my fridge, it looks like we just eat fast food all the time.
Because, which you do.
Yeah, we're trying to pull back a little bit.
No, not your wife, you.
Whataburger spicy ketchup. We got the bottled Chick-fil-A sauce.
Did you ever do the limited batch?
No.
The spicy ketchup limited batch was like the white top.
Oh, no, I never tried that.
Anyway, I couldn't taste the difference. I thought it was pretty much the same. How about the sriracha ketchup?
Good.
No, thank you.
I like sriracha ketchup.
It's pretty good. They have that at like Pluckers.
Yep.
It burned my tongue once. Like it put like
it was still hot?
Like a blister on my tongue.
That's not good.
It was weird.
You should sample that more often.
It was weird. You know what I like sriracha ketchup on?
What's that?
Seafood. Like a little fried shrimp, fried catfish.
Interesting.
Or ketchup with Louisiana hot sauce poured on the top of it.
I'm a connoisseur. That's why I go with the original. And then, like, I mix in barbecue sauce. I'll mix in spicy ketchup, but I'm not going to make it my go-to, my regular. I can tell the difference between other ketchups, and I love Heinz, the original.
So should we do a ketchup off? Like, if
I knew you were going to say that when I said that. I still think I'd be all right.
What do you mean?
So, like, if we got, like, a batch, like, a large Whataburger fry, and we got, like, four or five different ketchups.
Yeah, we should.
And we put them in front of Joel. We'll do it for a Wheel of Bits one.
I want to do it, actually.
Yeah, we can do that.
Of course you can. I want in on this.
A little competition?
I want to see – no, not competition. I want to see which ketchup I like the most.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
That's what I want. That's all I care about.
Yeah, even if I miss, it doesn't matter because I still love ketchup.
Yeah, Blankers is doing it for like a name, the ketchup. I'm doing it to see like which ketchup I like the most.
Yeah, we can do that next week.
That sounds good. I like that.
Next week, I thought you were already doing that Doritos fold-over pizza thing.
I got to find. Yeah, I probably could order that, yeah.
With DJ Khaled.
Honestly, it looks kind of gross. I don't really want to eat it. Do you guys want
to
eat it?
That's exactly why we need to do it then.
Somebody, what's that?
This fold-over Doritos pizza thing.
The Cool Ranch DJ Khaled pizza thing.
You want that for lunch?
No, you're not burning one of your lunch. No chance.
You got to tip your cap at the end.
Oh, hey, you know, that's a good effort.
What were you going to say?
Nothing.
Before I move on. 8755. We're talking about a Abreu being the sunk cost $20 sandwich that you don't want to finish, but you might have to. Jim Crane might force you to, which I don't disagree with you by the way. I think that there's a decent chance Jim Crane's going to force Jose Abreu to be the everyday first baseman. Now, if you're committed to winning, I would say that that's not the right decision.
But he's also going to put the pressure on Dana and say, now go get me someone else. Not a first baseman. Go get me another bat,
but even a corner
outfielder or someone else that can make people.
I'll concede with you that that's the most – I'll concede that that's the most likely scenario. Mm-hmm. Concede that 100%. But at that point, you're picking Jose Abreu over Chaz McCormick.
Sure you are.
You agree with that?
I don't agree with it, but I think that's their philosophy. That's what they're looking at. That's what Crane's looking at.
Right, but I'm saying that's not acceptable.
No.
That's not – if you're going to try to win and you're trying to hashtag ready to reign and you're trying to be a back-to-back champion and you're trying to be dynastic and you're trying to do all of these things, you got to make decisions that are in the best interest of winning, not finances.
Well, that's why I said the pressure's so much on Dana Brown because now you've got to juggle relationships and communication with your owner, which was the breakdown with your last GM. And you've got to also do your job, which is to understand that if I've got failing pieces and I've got the ability to make it right, it's my job to try and do that. I just also know looking over my shoulder as an owner who's not going to be interested in replacing Abreu this year.
Do you think that they're going to give Abreu the same time they gave Yuli? Because obviously Yuli turned it around in the playoffs is a big part of why they won the World Series last year.
Yeah, because they're paying him more.
But
they did.
They didn't move on from Yuli last year,
right.
And he cost nothing.
Yeah, there was no price of it. Now because there's a price attached to it, and because there's multiple years, they're definitely doing that with
Abreu. I understand the finances of it. I get it. But Yuli also was arguably the best first baseman they had all year. There was moments when you thought it was Trey Mancini, but Mancini didn't force his way into the lineup.
Yeah, he didn't have a hit for like 20 games.
Right, if Mancini comes in and hits 300 and hit like a 30 home run pace, Trey Mancini's your everyday first baseman.
No. Not with Dusty. Not with Dusty. You know how Dusty plays.
He would have forced his hand.
But I don't think that Dusty would have given in. We know this about him.
We know, and
we know that he did it at catcher. He stuck with Maldi no matter what kind of catcher you brought in. We were told he's a pinch hitter, and he's a backup. Backup plan. So I don't think he'd have done it with Mancini either.
Yeah.
He was loyal to Yuli.
That's a great counterpoint.
I just don't know if he'll be loyal to Abreu like that. I mean, he has no reason to be honest.
Yuli
didn't make the move per se, but you got to believe he had to sign off on it.
Yeah.
Dusty on Abreu?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Dusty's off-season comments was that like he wasn't talking to the front office that much.
And he did say like one of his first
comments were, we're making decisions right now with me, Baggy, Dusty.
I don't think he mentioned Dusty.
Didn't he?
No,
it was Baggy, Reggie.
I think he mentioned Enos Cabell. Enos, Reggie, and then like Furkus.
They sent some mixed signals.
They did.
I think you're both right here. There was times when they talked about Dusty's involvement, but then it was Dusty like the first 2 days of spring training that was saying, I wish we would have added another starter.
Yep,
yeah. Which is, at the time, felt ludicrous, and now he was right. But
I don't know. Is he? Be like France and Blanco have been great.
That's for now. What about the playoffs?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. I think I believe in these guys, but I'm not totally sure.
Sunk cost. Jose Abreu is a sunk cost to me. It's a $20 sandwich. You take that first bite, you don't like it. But you kind of feel forced to eating it. Or it's a $20 sandwich somebody else bought for you. Now you really you feel forced to eat it. 8755 says that he's that dry brisket that you have to put barbecue sauce on to eat. 6167, 20 pounds of meat in a 5-pound bag. I feel like that would be overproduction from Abreu. I don't know if I love that analogy. But at what point, let's eliminate what the Astros are going to do. For you, what are you saying at what point is the spot that you need to abort from Jose Abreu?
I don't think it's this year. I don't think.
So you would
go. No. Oh, you're what they're going to do. What I'm going to do?
Yeah, you're telling the Astros what they need to do.
I'm going to start by doing what we just said, which was we're going to give Yiner the chance to shine right now for this short, however long Yordan's out. And if he does anything at all, then I'm going to start platooning him at first base and giving Abreu more time off, games off, and then hopefully it works for the both of them. That Yiner's able to hold down the fort and do what he needs to do while Abreu, with a little more time off, starts to excel when he feels a little pressure too, but in the right way, and the rest helps him and he figures things out. That's what I'm going to start to do short term. But then looking at as I get closer to the deadline, I'm adding a guy that's probably a corner outfielder that can play first base, and I've got a guy that hopefully can bail me out. Eat it come playoff time, and he's just terrible.
I think there's a point where you do abort Jose Abreu this year.
In year one?
Yeah. Yeah, not DFAing him. You're not buying him out. You're not releasing him. But I believe there's a moment in time that comes this season where you're making somebody else the primary first baseman.
Crane lets you do that?
I think so. Like if Jim Crane's saying that he's committed to having a winning team and that he's not going to spare expense to having a winning team, you can't roll out a 540 OPS first baseman when you have better options, frankly, on your bench and when there's better options in the trade deadline.
I don't disagree that you can come to that point. I'm very concerned that Crane doesn't let it happen.
Right, but we're also saying what needs to happen.
Right.
Like we're telling Jim Crane that you can't do this if you care about winning. So like we're eliminating the whole what Jim Crane's going to do. I don't care what Jim Crane's going to do. I'm telling Jim Crane what he needs to do.
Yeah, but Dana Brown cares because he's got to keep his job.
Okay. The Astros, if they want to win, they have to abort Jose
Abreu. But you understand what I'm saying? Like James Click got his pink slip because he didn't understand how to communicate or how to work with Jim Crane.
Sure.
I think Dana knows that, knowing that I'm going to tell him this is what we should
do. Right, but I don't care about the whole dynamics. I care about winning a baseball game. I care about winning a World Series. And if Jim Crane is like cares more about winning than finances, which he tells you that he cares about more than anything else, then they have to abort Jose Abreu if he has a 540 OPS and you have a Yiner Diaz on the bench. I don't care what they're going to do. I'm telling you what they need to do they want to win another World Series.
But I think the difference, though, is that, I mean, look, last year, Jim Crane, like one of the reasons why James Slick got fired, and this has been well reported, is because Jim Crane said upgrade at center field and go get Starling Marte. And James Click failed. He was unwilling to give up the prospects. He was unwilling to make the move.
Click wanted some splashes.
He failed. And so, like, that's where I do wonder, even though, yes, it makes Jim Crane look bad, what makes him look good is winning championships. And if he says, hey, the St. Louis Cardinals are terrible, Make a phone call.
I don't think it makes him look bad. I don't think it makes him look bad. If you're willing to bench your $18 million a year first baseman in the word of winning, you're doing it because you want to win. That doesn't make Crane look bad. That makes Crane heroic.
I'll tell you where it makes him look good. If he benches Abreu and then goes makes a big splash at the deadline to get a guy that replaces him,
yeah,
and like I said, and does multiple things,
and again,
then he'll save face more from the bad move of the offseason.
And my point of view isn't coming from what I think Jim Crane's going to do. My point of view is if you care about winning a World Series, you have to abort Jose Abreu. And it doesn't need to be today. Like, you have 6 weeks to figure out if Jose Abreu is your everyday first baseman. And if Jose Abreu is not your everyday first baseman after this six-week evaluation, you abort Jose Abreu for the sake of winning another title. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. Coming up next are Willabits. Who knows what we're getting today? Joe's going to spin this fictional wheel and tell us what we're talking about today. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about my good friend Doc Linville and the NeoGraft procedure. NeoGraft procedure, it is unbelievable. It's life-changing. It's a game-changer. As you get older, you get pattern baldness. You see that you're getting thinning spots. You think there's nothing you can do about it. Now, thanks to Doc Linville, there's something you can do about it, and it's your own hair. Genetically, you're never going to lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. Doc Linville has mastered a process called the NeoGraft, which takes that hair, puts some of it where you need it most, and gives you more coverage, a better overall fullness of hair, and it gives you a better look and more confidence on a daily basis. It's absolutely fantastic, and you can do it. I did it. I'm telling you, the results were unbelievable, and I'm thankful every day that I did this procedure. Go to 975hair.com right now. Check it out. See how everything goes, and set up your first appointment. Your appointment is free. There's no obligation, no money out of pocket. Nothing that you're on the hook for, except for a meeting with Doc Linville and his staff so they can explain to you what NeoGraft is, and you can figure out if it's right for you, too. The one that got me, 95 to 99% of the follicles that are used and moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. It's absolutely fantastic. That's why I did it. You might be the next in line to do it, too. Get that free consultation today. Go to 975hair.com.
It's the Wheel of Bits on the Killer Bees.
Kibbles and bits, kibbles and bits. I'm going to get me some kibbles and bits.
Who knows the bits the bees will begrudgingly bite? Well, let's find out.
It's time for Bet Bees.
Here's Joel and Jeremy. And Joe.
It is the Killer Bees broadcasting live from the Gentleman Tasting Room in Alvin. Great spot. Amazing spot. Outstanding spot. Steve is giving Joel Coke Zeros. That's great. we'll be here until the end of the wheelhouse. They're open every Wednesday through Saturday, 3 to 8. College football season, when that rolls around, I can't wait for college football season. Which, by the way, Daniel Holgerson was on with the final hour of the bench today. Make sure you go back to ESPN975.com to listen to that. Good stuff there from the head coach of the Cougars. This is an outstanding spot, though, for your private parties, private meetings, 50 comfortably inside, tons more outside, the whole distilling process. If you're interested in the science of Gentle Bend, distilling the whiskey, the gin, the vodka, they'll give you tours, all of that. It's a fantastic spot, great spot, one of my favorite spots in the greater Houston area.
I was telling Steve that we normally don't take Joe places that are respectable
unless
they have an outside place that we can leave Joe. Here they have an outside place where we could leave Joe.
I don't know why we let them in.
And they're giving me fancy drinks, too.
I don't know why we let them in.
In copper mugs.
Yeah, I want Moscow Mule.
That's good.
Very, very good vodka. Very, 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 very good.
Yeah, it is very smooth. It eliminates all the impurities. It's the best vodka in the state.
That sounds like a commercial.
Wink, wink. Willabits. What do you got for us today?
Every
day at 2:30 we do a Willabits. We never know what we're gonna get. We never know what we're gonna get. What are we getting today?
Well, look, this one is one that's been on its way. It's been needed. When you look at our rundown behind the scenes, peel back the curtain. There's a lot of complaints. There's a lot of them from this show. You put them on there.
Surprisingly.
Joel has them. So today, it's time for pet peeves. I want to know
them.
Whatever pet peeves you've got. We've all got them. We decided we were going to do this yesterday, 2 of 3. And
yeah.
I ran into one of my biggest pet peeves before I left the parking lot.
What?
An intern?
People that buy cars or trucks, and they can't drive them. I was trying to leave the parking lot last night.
This wasn't me, was it?
No. No, your truck's not white. I was trying to leave the parking lot last night to go home, and this person was backing out of their spot. They did a 9-point park where they just kept going back and forth, and they couldn't get out.
So were they trying to were they trying to park or get out?
Get out.
And this was a truck?
Yeah.
And so it was parked like frontways?
Frontways, yes.
So they didn't back in.
So they didn't back in. So one of my biggest pet peeves is don't buy a car that you cannot drive. Like, if you cannot buy a truck, if you cannot get in and out of parking spots, you shouldn't have one. You should be banned. There should be a new driving test if you want a truck.
But I agree with you totally, because I think Jeremy and I used to do this all the time with our – we used to get a bird who got flipped the bird more.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of it was derivative of
– Who do you think won?
Yeah.
Jeremy.
See?
Actually, you know what's funny, though? It's like Joel and I have
– I didn't win.
Joel and I have more conversations after the show than you.
Yeah, I'm out.
And I hear quite a bit of horn honking going on. I think most of the time it's coming from Joel.
I don't flip.
You honk.
I honk.
But the honk causes the flip.
Sometimes. And then it causes me to get agitated.
Yeah, no, it goes both ways.
The flip count was how many you've received.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Joel honks at someone,
and then
they
I get flipped off.
Oh. Does that, how of your flips, let's say you get 10 flips, how many of them are usually in reaction to you
honking? I don't think they're honk generated.
I don't think so either.
No, the majority of them is... The fact that, I mean, if you do something stupid, though, if I'm gonna, I might floor it and drive by you very quickly.
Yeah. I'm a big
flipper. You don't get the. Whenever you've told your bird stories, usually it doesn't lead with the honk.
No, that's right.
Usually it's somebody cutting you off, and then you like you'll get even and like look at them angrily.
Yep. And I think that's where my wife gets very agitated, going, now you have a wife and kids, and I can't afford to lose you, so you can't be doing the kind of things you did when you were single.
Yeah, I'm a big give the bird guy in the car until we had Joseph.
You bite your lip when you do it?
Sometimes.
Yeah, I figured.
Really?
You bite your lip?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The white man's overbite?
That's kind of a northern thing to do.
That's a Joe thing.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But as soon as I had Joseph in the car, I was like,
oh,
just no more bird given. Like, it's no other. So, what's some top pet peeves?
Well, first one, driving-wise.
I'm your pet peeve.
Well, that aside from that, little Brendan can be my pet peeve.
Easy.
But the one that really bothers me that Joe can appreciate from the Midwest, left lane, fast lane.
Oh, yeah.
If you are not driving fast, please don't go 63 in the far left lane and think that you're doing anyone a favor. Because that is annoying as all get out.
Facts. Like, part of that, too, I hate whenever you come to a stoplight and you're in the right lane and not turning right.
Oh, big time.
And it doesn't even need to be right turn only.
Like,
have a little courtesy. We live in a society. Don't stop at a red light in the right lane and then block everybody behind you from turning right. You're putting your time ahead of everybody else behind you's time, and that is a selfish move.
That's facts. That's facts.
Now, I know Jeremy's got, like, three on here.
I do.
And they're good.
And none of them was that.
No, but they're
that's
good,
how many
though.
Pet peeves I have. What else y'all have? We don't have to do all these all in a day.
No, you know me. I've always said.
Well, what's your next one?
Your first one? I went to get an oil change. It's been a couple of weeks ago now. And, like, you know whenever they sit in your seat to, you know, they move your vehicle.
Yeah.
They either drive it forward to the bay or they take it out back, whatever. And I go to get my oil change at a dealership because it came included with the vehicle. So whenever I go in to get the oil change, they have to sit in the truck and have to drive it around, go do the oil change and all this stuff. And whenever I get back into my truck, they've moved the seats. And it's like, you've been in my truck for 5 seconds. You drove my truck to the bay. You've drove my truck outside, like out around the corner. Why are you moving my seats to where I need to now readjust my seats, readjust my mirrors for 5 seconds of you driving it around the corner? I could not stand that. It was a huge pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, that's tough.
Why can't you sit in my seat settings for 5 seconds?
Look, some people have different problems.
You don't need to.
It's one thing if you got to test drive it or something like that. That would be that. Then I totally think you have to move.
Why are you adjusting my mirrors to move 10 feet?
If a 6 foot tall mechanic moves my seat, I might not be able to reach the pedals when
exactly.
I get back in the car.
You shouldn't be moving.
You won't be able to reach the pedals. When
What's
you get
the
back
period?
That's my point.
What's the period of time? What's the period of time for somebody to sit in your vehicle and to drive your vehicle? How long do they need to be driving your vehicle to mess with your seat and mirror settings?
The mirrors never, unless they're
well. If you're a valet and you're moving it to like a parking garage,
see, I think it's valet is like that's it.
Then you can't. That's
2 minutes of moving to move the mirrors.
But if you got to get in traffic,
that's not how far you're going.
If you got to get in
traffic
you're going to be more pissed off if they ding your car.
Traffic is valid.
If it's valet, I would rather them move everything. And just make sure I get my car back in one piece.
See, whenever I take the oldest to school, sometimes I'll take my wife's car because it's just easier. And that's about a 15-minute round trip. I won't touch the mirror setting, but I'll change the seat setting.
I agree with
at
that.
At 15 minutes.
See, because Lisa's obviously very, very short, too. So what I do is when I use her car, I move her car. What I always do is I do a count in my mind of how far I have to move the seat back. And then when I get back home, I do the 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3. Okay, boom. When I get back home, I do the 1,000, 1,000, 2,000, 3 forward so that I can at least keep it in the ballpark of where she had it.
That's very admirable of you.
Yeah,
that's very gentlemanly of you.
I do that for her because of the fact that she's short.
That's next level. I wish you wouldn't have said that on the air because now I'm going to have to do the same thing.
Yeah, you are. You're screwed.
I have to do that for the rest of my life.
And the good thing I know that my wife actually has to do that for Joe because she's taller than him.
That's not true.
That's stuff.
Only when she's in heels.
And you're not?
No, they're normal size. I guess Jordan.
I mean, when you're at home, you're not going to show the world how you dress.
Jordan's got a little lift on him.
We got a couple inches.
Yeah, more than most. That's not why I wear them, but.
No, and they don't have a little lift.
You know what I just learned?
So what's the time limit?
Like 5 minutes.
So 5 minutes for the seat?
The mirrors is purely based on where
depends.
They're going.
I think the mirror, you need like a true destination.
No, it's because I think you have to factor in with
the mirrors and traffic.
The only time, traffic's good.
Yeah. No, but like if the mirrors are going, if they're pulling into a space and they need I think they're probably moving your mirrors. It's like they're closing them.
If you're parking hood first, you don't need the mirrors.
If you're only driving car on property,
why do you need the mirrors to park hood first?
No, like if they're going into a tight space.
See, here's
why do you need the mirrors to park hood first in a tight space?
If you stay on the premise for either a valet or a repair, you can do that without, and you don't have to test drive the car. You can do that without moving the mirrors.
Exactly.
If you have to go out of the driveway of a restaurant for a valet or out of the driveway to park your car till you get to it to the shop to work on it, and you have to cross traffic or something, now you totally move the mirrors.
No, I'm saying like you have a wall, like you have a wall, and you know you're going to be cutting it close based on where you're taking the car.
That's only if you
back
up.
And you have to move the mirror. But if you're pulling in front, you don't back up on an oil change.
Have you ever parked forward using the mirrors?
No, I'm saying if there's like you don't want to hit the wall with the mirror. So like you can close your mirrors.
Oh, that's different than adjusting the mirrors.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying maybe they're closing your mirrors and when they're putting them back,
I got you.
They're in the wrong spot.
The only time I'll adjust my wife's car mirrors if we're driving for like 30 minutes or more.
Well, here's the thing. My wife doesn't drive. I just end up driving everywhere. I don't know why.
I do too.
But like her stuff kind of gets screwed up all the time. Because it's not even a height. Like we are the same height. But she she likes to like. I don't know how she drives. To be honest, like her feet are like her legs are basically fully extended when she's driving.
My wife rides dirty, dude. She like leans back far.
Oh, that's Lisa's kind of the opposite. Lisa's like right up on the wheel.
She leans back like she's like laying out at the pool.
I get in my wife's car and I'm like, how do you drive like this? Like, what do you like? This is not a good way to drive. You know, I just learned about the places that do oil changes where you don't have to get out of the car.
Yeah,
blew my mind.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of those, actually.
Oh, that's all I ever do.
I'm 31 years old,
and I was
like,
the 10 minute oil change?
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
I don't like those a lot. Like, my place that I go to, they have a lounge. Like, you get coffee, they have sodas if you want sodas. I go there and do my prep.
I see, that's smart.
It's a great spot to, like, hang out. Like, it's better than Starbucks.
I don't know. I'll never.
Yeah, I don't have a place like that near me. I just make sure it's in and out, and they do it in less than 10 minutes.
I understand. I get that. I get that if you don't have
a
lounge
never
area.
Not go to another one
this
of those
This should
places.
Be a segment, by the way, because there's so many.
Oh, well, yeah, Wheel of Bits.
Oh, yeah, it's Wheel of Bits.
There's so
many. It might happen Monday.
Yeah.
We never know what we're going to get on the Wheel of Bits.
Until the grinder goes off and spins the wheel in his head that we don't know
we
about.
We never know what we're going to get on the Wheel of Bits. This Lance McCullers Jr.'s injury is weird. Cleveland Guardian? Or Cleveland Brown. Cleveland Guardian, Cleveland Brown. All right, we do that next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, broadcasting live from General Ben in Alvin.
Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suavemente, bésame, que quiero sentir tus labios besándome otra vez. Suave, bésame, bésame.
Welcome back to the Summer Circuit, coming to you live. The Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios at the Gentlemen Tasting Room in Alvin. Here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Brennan.
Suavemente. I love this song so much. This and Salinas. It's supposed to be a good. I'm glad. I'm happy. This is Christian Javier's song.
Yeah.
Salinas or Selena?
We're doing anything for Salinas. You don't get it. You just showed you're uneducated when it comes to Salinas there.
I'm all good with that.
It's in the movie. I'll do anything for Salinas. But it is Selena. I like when Christian Javier pitches on a Friday. That way we can listen to this song as our final rejoin on a Friday. Elvis Crespo. Oh, so good. Astros lineup is out. You want to play a Guardian or a Brown or hear the lineup first?
Let's play Guardian or Brown. Let's
get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Sure.
Joel lost who said it. Now he's going to lost Guardian or Brown.
Shut your mouth, slumper.
I just kind of patched this together. I did zero prep for this. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you an option. Two guys. One of them's a Brown. One of them's a Guardian. Cam Gallagher, Corey Bohorquez.
Bohorquez?
I don't know. Never heard of him before.
I would think that's how it's pronounced.
I'll go with that guy. Bohorquez is a Guardian.
I think Cam Gallagher is a Guardian.
Oh, Blanker's got it. What is on your computer right now? What's on your front screen? All right, it's legit. Blanker's up 1-0. Cam Gallagher is a backup catcher for the Guardians. He's hitting .143. Better, it's worse than Martin Maldonado. Corey Bohorquez is the he's the holder for the Cleveland Browns.
Oh my. This is ridiculous.
Actually, I think he's the long snapper. He's the long snapper for the Browns. He's not the
same
holder.
Difference.
He's
almost.
The long. He's the John Weeks of the Cleveland Browns. All right, here we go. Next one, Isaiah McGuire. Or Nick Sandlin?
I think Isaiah McGuire is a Brown.
Agreed.
Well done. Isaiah McGuire.
Oh, Joel, you won this week.
Is a defensive end for the Cleveland Browns.
Because you were talking crap.
He's a rookie. He went to Missouri.
And I suck at this game.
And Nick Sandlin. What's on your screen? I'm just kidding. Nick Sandlin is a pitcher for the Guardians. We'll probably see him. He's out of the bullpen. 3.32 ERA. All right, last one. Tanner Beebe. Or Michael Dunn?
Tanner Beebe's a Brown.
I'll go opposite just to be wrong. For
Joe got it right this time. Tanner Beebe is
a safe face, Joe.
Pitcher for the Guardians. He's actually a starter for the Guardians. Will not be pitching this week. He won't be pitching this week.
They get their kryptonite, and then they get Bieber.
Who's going tonight? McKenzie's tomorrow.
McKenzie's tomorrow night. Bieber's Sunday.
He came back. So he's been hurt all season. First start back, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts. That guy is nasty.
Some fellow by the name of LT Allen is going to
McKenzie
for the
basically
guards.
Owns the Stros.
Yeah.
Allen's 3-2 with a .276 ERA. Javier 7-1 with a .284 ERA.
They're the same team they were last year. They have good pitching, but they
without
have no
Plesak.
Hitting.
Did Plesak sign anywhere yet?
No, I don't think so.
Like they have no hitting. Like they can get
on the Stros, I still kick the tires on.
Jose
him.
Ramirez hit 3 home runs yesterday.
In his first three at bats.
He just said they have no hitting.
They have one guy.
Finish the week strong, Joe.
They have one guy.
Finish the week strong.
They have one guy.
Finish what you started this week,
please. They have one guy. One guy does not equal they have hitting.
That's all right.
Jose Ramirez has hitting.
Listen.
Try and dig your way out.
Look at them moving the goalpost.
Yeah, you only got one segment left. You need a big shovel.
From no hitting to no hitting besides one guy. He's moving the goalpost.
No, I'm 100% right on this.
You smashed yourself.
No, you said they had no hitting.
They have one hitter.
There you go. You're moving
yourself.
The goalpost.
They have no hitting, but they have a guy that hit three home runs in his first three at-bats yesterday.
Jose Ramirez.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, it is. Yes, it absolutely is. You're right.
Jose Ramirez is a top 10 hitter in baseball.
They have one guy.
You didn't say that.
Yourself. You just tagged yourself.
This is garbage.
You said they have no hitting. You didn't say they had no hitting outside of Jose Ramirez.
You crushed yourself by finishing it with "this is ridiculous." Yes, and it was all you.
You made the list.
No.
You made the list for next Thursday.
No, that's not fair.
B-Mac, please.
Yes, save that audio, B-Mac.
They have no hitting. Jose Ramirez has 3 home runs yesterday.
They have no hitting.
In his first 3 at-bats.
He threw it in there like, and by the way. They have no hitting besides one
step
player.
Step on me some more.
I bet you they are in the bottom 10th. Of every single statistical offensive
Listen
category.
This. Now he's straw-manning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now when they're not 10th or 10th? Because if you're in the bottom 10th, I don't think they're in the bottom 10th. Okay. I think the A's hold the basement, and I think that the Nationals are probably right there.
I'm kind of curious about that now. Yeah, they have no hitting. Jose Ramirez.
And one guy.
Who's that what you said?
Who some people think is an MVP candidate and other people think is one of the best 5 hitters in baseball.
That I don't disagree with.
They do have the 3rd fewest runs in the AL.
Do you agree that he plays for Cleveland?
Yes.
And he plays often?
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Jose Ramirez.
I love Jose Ramirez.
I do too. You know that.
He's
we talked
so
about it.
He's so good. I love Jose Ramirez. But the Astros beginning a 3-game series today against the Guardians. We haven't done the lineup yet, have we?
What a way to end the show.
All right, here's the lineup for today.
Finish strong, kid.
Is this Mauricio Dubon's first start in the outfield this year?
No. I think he filled in left.
Did he start there?
I think
he started in left a week or two ago.
I think he's got one or two at most.
Mauricio Dubon is leading off in left. Jose Altuve, because they need to see good pitches in front of Alex Bregman, is playing second base, batting second. Alex Bregman at third hits third. Kyle Tucker, the cleanup man in right. Jose Abreu bats fifth, plays first. Chaz McCormick in center hits sixth. Jeremy Peña in the seventh spot.
Yeah.
At short, so they go Dubon in leadoff, Peña at seven.
This is punishment.
Yiner Diaz DHs hits eighth, and then Martin Maldonado catches bats ninth. Javier on the mound. I don't hate this lineup.
I'm just surprised to see Dubon in left, Peña at seven.
It's interesting to see Dubon in the outfield, and it's interesting to see Dubon hitting higher in the order than Peña. I think Peña hitting seventh though is punishment.
I'm just looking up the Guardians stats right now.
I'm still.
They have some dudes.
I'm also
to see how bad their offense
Josh
is.
Josh Naylor's not terrible.
No, he's not.
They're last
in
baseball.
He's a funky looking dude. He reminds me of Dylan Brooks with a stash.
He's probably an average hitting first baseman, but he's not terrible.
He's the one that did the. He started talking mess to the Yankees, and then they lost to the Yankees.
I'm just trying to impress myself.
He did hit a bomb off Garrett Cole.
Yeah, but he was talking a little bit too
much. His story's crazy. He like snapped his leg in like three different pieces.
That's not fun.
It's pretty. He's got an interesting story. But you're right. They ended up losing that game. Were you looking at the numbers?
Yeah, they're last in baseball in home runs.
Oh, listen to this.
He's trying to talk his way out of this. Yeah. Second to last in
RBIs.
Tenth or 10th?
Last 10th.
Do you care about
it? Oh, now you went back to 10th. You were trying to save face with last 10.
They're 21st in batting average.
Do you care about a team's RBI total?
I said they have a bad offense.
You also said they're like third to last in RBIs.
You did say that.
And they're the bottom 10.
Do you care about team's RBI total?
See, here's the thing. He can't even figure out from stat to stat if he said 10th or 10th.
No, I said they're in the bottom 10.
But why do you care about a team's RBI total?
You changed it again.
It doesn't matter.
Look at team runs.
Wasn't it the same thing?
No.
You changed it again, too, by the way. First time it was I said 10th. Now I said 10. Then I said 10th. Which one is it?
Blankers is worried about the grammar. I'm worried about the baseball numbers.
They're different things.
They're 28th in runs scored. They're 30th in
RBIs. It's probably close.
Yeah, but
if I'm looking at a team offense, I'm never looking at RBIs.
Well, but yeah, but they're pretty similar.
Runs,
I mean,
OPS, maybe WOBA, if you're a nerd.
Is WOBA on here? WOBA's not on here.
WOBA's electric.
I don't even know what WOBA is.
Weighted on base.
Oh, okay.
It's better than OPS. It's kind of a...
They're 29th in OPS.
That was your nickname in softball, wasn't
it? What's your favorite offensive number?
That was Joe's nickname in softball. Honestly, weighted, but on base.
Weighted on base. Yeah. WOBA.
OPS to me is... It makes the most sense.
I think WOBA is a little bit more scientific, but it's not as well known. So, like, OPS is my go-to normal stat. WOBA is my go-to stat. Where are you at on that, Blankers?
I would agree with you, but I'm definitely not going to be focused on runs batted in.
team?
Why? Yeah, for a team.
What is wrong
individuals,
with
individuals, that's fine, because I would bet that a guy that you don't give any credit gets RBIs. Ramirez can get some RBIs.
Out. The thing about the Rangers, why they're so good, is because of how many runs they score this season.
Yeah,
so but not all those are batted in.
Not all of them batted in.
How many are not?
You can hit into a double play and have a run score. It's not an RBI.
Look, Joe, it's semantics and it's nitpicky.
It's like literally, it's so nitpicky.
But whenever you're looking at a team stat, you're never looking at RBIs.
No, but guys, the Cleveland Guardians have 231 runs this year. They have 215 RBIs.
That's not what you said, though. You didn't say they have a bad offense. You said they have nobody that can hit.
No, I said they have a bad offense.
You said they have nobody that can hit.
This is 10th versus 10. You're all over the map.
Nobody can hit have a bad offense.
You said they have nobody offensively. They have Jose Ramirez, one of the best offensive players in baseball. So do the Astros.
Wait. So then you say you didn't say it. Then when you did say it, but they have one guy because you're trying to save it.
No, because they have one guy. You're talking about it's a 26-man roster.
That wasn't what you said, though. What is your take?
They have a bad offense.
Okay, facts. Facts. But that's not how you defined it. That's not how you illustrated
it.
That's not what you said.
That's not fair. Joe is actually right. Being bleeps right now, low key.
Really? Really? Don't you have to leave to let an intern in here or something? Don't you have something that else
to
you
be
can
fair,
do?
I'll read the war. I mean, I'm not going to read Junior Broncos because he's just the D-bag at this point.
He's killing you.
What did, he was.
Oh, and then we're not being nice.
What do y'all think about Lance McCullers' injury?
It's not good. It's very bad.
Why are we laughing at this? He's getting he's getting an MRI today. What do you think it is?
He's
with
done. Lynn? He's done just for the year. Washed. I just don't know if there's a medical solution, right? Some guys just break down and can't stay healthy. And if you're telling me that there's something wrong with his arm, but it can't be surgically repaired,
I have a
that's a massive problem.
I have a hot take. I think Lance McCullers is kind of finding injuries.
What do you mean?
I think Lance McCullers is kind of finding soreness. Like, Dana Brown's out there saying that he's throwing 93, throwing 35 pitches, and how encouraging that is. And then the next day he's sore. And he's like, we're going to go get an MRI and find a final answer.
You know what my biggest fear is? If they can't, if there's not surgery with the forearm, then he needs Tommy John again.
I just think he's done.
That might be best case.
I know, but I'm just saying, I think there's a chance he might need Tommy John again.
I agree. That might be best case scenario.
But it's still scary.
And then he's back in 2025?
Yeah, that sucks.
He wouldn't pitch next year.
Yeah.
Second TJ, he's not pitching next year. What's the Wheelhouse leading off their show with today?
They're going to mention that they're here at the General Ben's Tasting Room.
Alvin.
They're leading with that. They're leading with that.
So they won't talk about the greatness of Jalen Brunson and Quentin Grimes.
Or the Jets, or the hockey, the island.
I saw something today on CBSSports.com where they mentioned the Houston Texans as a potential Ezekiel Elliott destination. Mm. Lead story of the world.
No, they're leading with the Astros and Yordan.
All right, guys. That's going to do it for us. Have a great weekend, everybody. Thanks to Joe George with Bad Takes. Thanks to BMAC for doing all the hard work. For Blank, I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.